Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful, here with a name you know. You know him by many names. You're about to know him as a different name. You've known him as Reggie, Reginald, Scripps. Now he's Sidney Akeem. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, my man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we saw each other at Wale Mania. We were talking there, and we realized the St. Louis Rumble was probably the last time we had ran into each other. I was fortunate enough to do an interview with you there. And now we're about to talk about your future. First and foremost, how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling really good, actually. Very positive. You know, the news came, you know, three, 4 weeks ago or whatever. But I've been in really good spirits. It's not, you know, how it was like a couple of years ago, when those releases and fires were happening and people were just devastated. I know it's still tough, but I'm in a really, really good headspace, actually. So
I know that when the news dropped, a lot of people wondered, what will he do next? Because of your background wasn't necessarily direct from the independent circuit or anything like that, but it looks like you're attacking that head on. And I mean, I've already heard from independent companies that were like, when's he available?
I am... full on excited for this next chapter in my story. People don't know this, but I did circus for 16 years, and I was ready to lay that career aside, stop that career, and go on the independent circuit if WWE didn't offer me a contract. So I was willing to dive into this head first from the very beginning, but I was fortunate enough to get a contract with WWE, so that didn't happen. But now I'm here. And I'm excited to do that. And like you said, lots of companies have hit me up, lots of projects in the works. The future is very, very bright.
So I'm interested to learn, like, how do they even go about recruiting you? Now, obviously, there is some crossover there. Like, there was Mason Ryan, who went from WWE to Cirque du Soleil and all that stuff. And obviously, there's a lot of, like, crossover in the performing aspects there. But also, you were that class that snuck in right before the pandemic, right before they went on a big hiring freeze, too.
Yeah. It was divine timing, I say, because I did my initial tryout in 2019. It was April 2019. And the week before that, we had the Cirque du Soleil and WWE exchange. And, you know, my coaches from Cirque du Soleil said, hey, you know, WWE wants to do this exchange. I'm like, what? Ain't no way. This is, nah. Like, I want more information about that. And we were only in Orlando for 5 weeks. It was one of the shorter cities that we had. But it just kept getting postponed and postponed until the last week of our shows in Orlando. They said, oh, it's on our dark day. It's on Monday. So we came to the PC on Monday. And, man, I was a kid in a candy store, in Toys R Us. It was insane. We walked in. I saw titles and cases. I saw WrestleMania. I don't know which one. I can't remember. It was playing on the screen. And then Shawn Michaels walked in. I looked at my guy. I'm like, was that? He was like, yep. Are we? Yep. And then we was like, oh man, this is crazy. But I woke up that morning, I told myself, like, I was done with circus. It was 16 years. I have done everything that I said I wanted to do in the circus world. And I'm like, I need a change. And so I went in and said, I'm going to get myself a job. And I started flipping off the ropes and doing all of these different things. And, you know, Scotty saw me do something. Scotty of all people, I did like the little back worm under like a clothesline. He said, hey kid, do that again. And one thing led to another. He showed Matt talked to him. And then I said, hey, how does one get a tryout? And they said, we have a tryout next week. If you make yourself available, then we'll invite you. I never made myself available. I just said I was available. And so I flew back to, I left Orlando, went to St. Louis, flew back a day afterwards, did the tryout, completely crushed it, and got told, on the last day, said, hey, we love you. We love your story. You're a stud athlete. We want to bring you in. And rest is pretty much history. You know, typical WWE fashion. I don't hear anything for like months. But I told myself, you know, this is what I want to do. So I still had like 6 or 7 months worth of touring with Cirque du Soleil. So I just searched up every wrestling school in every city that we went to. And I said, I'm going to make this work. And so I'm training wrestling on my days off on Saturday and Sunday mornings before double shows. I went to Connecticut, A Test of Strength. I went to St. Louis, Dynamo Pro, Montreal, Torture Chamber. I was in Calgary, Vancouver, training with a lot of people. And I said, I'm going to make this work. And fortunate enough to come in January of 2019.
It's so wild when you look at the time in which, I think you said your tryout was April 2019, mm-hmm. and you got your call-up that we saw on TV. We saw you pop up in December of the next year. That's rare for people who have been on the independent circuit for years and years and years, or even through their system and all that. Mm-hmm. You had your tryout, had a months-long gap of not hearing from them, got signed, and then in like less than a year from being signed, were brought up as an on-screen character. Like that had to be like, did anybody prepare you for that? Did anybody say, this is very rare that this is happening to you?
Well, they didn't have to tell me because I knew for a fact it was rare. And yeah. I was blessed for the opportunity. And, you know, I am a creator. I am a person that I'm just going to attack whatever's opportunity head on, and I'm just going to go for it. I remember a coach told me, Ace Steele, at the PC when I got there, he said, dude, you're playing catch up. You're not going to get better by training for 3 or 4 times a week. You have to do more. And so I said, okay, cool. And so I went into go mode. I started training outside the PC with EJ and Duca, the judge, Ricochet, Isaiah, Rich Swann, Joaquin Wilde, Moose. I've trained with all of these guys because the pandemic happened. I got there in January. Pandemic happened the day after my birthday. Everything was shut down March 14th. I said, I don't have time to take a vacation. And so I was training throughout the whole pandemic or whatever. And then we get back to training around like August or something like that. And I remember I came back and I was in the best shape of my life. I had a PC live match and some people came up to me and said, dude, you really impressed a lot of people. We have some big plans for you. And then when that happened, I get called to, not a month later, I get called to SmackDown to be an on-screen, not even a character. It was just an on-screen moment for Carmella as her sommelier. And when that happened, first time that happened, I got my butt whooped. I got thrown to a table. I got hit with a finisher. I got slapped, hit with the clipboard, table flipped on me. It was just insane. I'm like, oh, that was cool. That lasted. As long as it lasted, I don't expect to be back, but I was happy because I was going back to, you know, 205 live stuff at NXT.
So was your first match in front of a non-PC crowd that match on SmackDown with Sasha Banks?
Yeah.
That is insane. That is wild. On Fox against Sasha Banks in prime time. Ain't never done it before. That is wild.
You know, I did my first PC live. My first match ever was at the PC, and it was my second match, and it was in front of Edge. And Edge gave me some great feedback saying, dude, to be your second match ever, that was incredible. And I never did like a show in Orlando. I never did anything like that, Coconut, a live event. It was just really thrown into the fire. And I'm not going to lie, I performed my entire life, 16 years of performing. I was nervous as hell. And we were in the virtual fans. I was like, I don't know what. I was nervous as hell. But when I went out there, I'm like, oh, this is very similar to what I'm used to. And so I went out there and had fun. And that thing blew up. It blew up.
It's what I remember from that show. Like, I don't remember much else from that show. I remember your debut and everybody going like, okay, will it be like a schmoz where at the beginning he's taken out and somebody replaces him? And then it happened and we were like, oh, okay. He's capable of things that most human beings are not capable of, which worked out really, really to your favor. While you were in NXT, had you been presented like any creative plans? Like, oh, well, we might put you on NXT. Or was it just you were training and then all of a sudden, bam, SmackDown?
I was training. I was actually getting ready for another PC Live. I did my first one. They said, dude, you really impressed a lot of people. We got some plans for you or whatever. And it was a Friday morning. This is when SmackDown was in Tampa. Friday morning or St. Pete, whatever, whichever one. And I was going to the PC Live, had my gear and whatnot. And they said, hey, you need it for SmackDown. And I went to coach. I'm like, hey, should I do my PC Live and then go right after? He's like, no. Worry about SmackDown. Bring a suit. And I've always been a stylish guy, so I had a suit. And then the week after, I bought another suit. And then I started adding all of these small things to the character. I'm a sommelier. I didn't know what the hell that was. I don't drink wine. I don't drink anything.
I was going to ask, because I'm not a wine guy either, but yeah, man, you were a sommelier.
Yeah. I said, oh, sommelier, this is French ties or whatever. I speak French. Let's put the French accent on. Let's do this. And then everything is like layers after layers after layers. And then next thing you know, this was a character on SmackDown and it was insane. No creative plans on NXT or nothing. I did get word that they were going to put me on 205 Live, but that was like weeks and months into me doing the sommelier character. They said, once it's done, we'll put you on 205 Live. I'm like, great. But then the sommelier character became more and more. And more. I'm just like, what am I to do? I love it.
So, again, you got signed in 2020. So even being at the PC, everything's different. Like they had to cancel classes for a while, all that. Were you doing any of the stand-in stuff at WWE Raw when they had like the audience there, so to speak?
Yeah, I was in the crowd. I took my first bump on TV. It was doing the Drew and Bobby feud. I came in and he gave me a big headbutt bone, and I was so proud of that moment. Then NXT came back. I was a stand-in at Thatcher Academy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that's when my name was Akeem Young. That was my first name. I was Akeem Young there, and that was it. And the rest, I was just in the crowd randomly.
I remember we called it Chairgate because they made you all stand for like 8 hours in a row at those tapings. And I was happy because like I got like 10 NXT wrestlers dropping me messages like, please publish that they are not letting us sit for 8 hours.
That's so funny.
That and so I was funny. Like, okay, sure. So you're doing the sommelier thing, and again, that's not a thing that you're used to. But also, like they play to your strengths an awful lot, and your ability to evade and do things that most people aren't doing, and that naturally brings you into the 24/7 title picture. And I've heard a lot of the pitches that were brought up there and all that stuff. But I mean, you were such a natural fit for that because that was an evasive title. Like you wanted to avoid people and you had a unique ability to do that more than anybody else. How are you told, okay, we're going to factor you into this now?
Oh my goodness. It's incredible because, you know, I went from stuff with Carmella and Sasha, and then one random day, Nia and Shayna enters the picture, and I said, oh, I'm no longer on SmackDown. I'm with Nia and Shayna. And we did all of that amazing stuff. And then one day I hear, it was like right before we started to go back on the road. It was the week or two before we're going on the road. I heard that this is the direction we're going to move towards. I said, okay, we don't know when it's going to happen, but then come that next Monday, first show on the road, you're going to win the 24/7 title. I'm like, okay. And when that happened, didn't really know what to expect, but it was my first time in front of a crowd, a live crowd, and I won the 24/7 title. Man, that time was just so incredible because everything was new for me. Being in front of that crowd was new. Walking out, hearing those noises, and they knew who I was. They were like genuinely cheering and like Reggie and all that, and like it was cool. And then they turned on me when Nia turned on me. And then the 24/7 stuff happened. I hit Tozawa with the spinning crossbody. They cheered for me. Come this way. I just experienced everything in like a WWE crowd in one moment. It was pretty dope.
Are you aware of how much of a hit a lot of your stuff was on YouTube? Like,
oh, very, very much so.
I wrote down some of the numbers. You and Ricochet, 1.3 million. Reggie and Gable, 3.3. Reggie and Dana, 1.3. Reggie and Truth, 11 million. Drake Maverick, 1.6. Omos, 1.4. Tozawa, 4.3. The love story thing with you and Dana, as well as Tamina's as well, 10 million views. You and Sasha, 5.2 million. Like, there are some other things during that era, like Retribution somehow did insane numbers as well. But these, we have long kept track of the YouTube numbers because, in our opinion, it's something that somebody's going out of their way to see. Like, are you ever told about this? Is it something that like just you happen to check out your own stuff and then you see, damn, that performed really, really well? Like, is it ever even brought up to you? Because you were a consistently strong performer in that regard.
So I've checked some numbers. A lot of those numbers, I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that those were that high. One that you did mention was the first time I did my entrance with R-Truth.
Yeah.
That on TikTok did, I think it was over like 100 something.
Yeah.
And not 1,000, 100 or close million. To, yeah. It was high. It was high for a long time because I recall that because they put it on the screen every time I came out. Well, now TikTok, the highest viewed TikTok in all of entertainment or whatever, I'm like, that is cool. And I didn't really check it out, but I was aware that, you know, these I was getting high numbers and people wanted to see it and it was entertaining. And I took that as, that was a pride thing because I am different. I am very much so not from a traditional wrestling background, but I've always been a true entertainer. And that's what this business is.
And even beyond that, like I didn't even mention Tamina over 1 million, the tag match 2 million. The shopping spree was something a lot of people loved. That did over 1 million too. How was it filming that? Because like Nia Jax is a very polarizing character on WWE TV, but as soon as that started, people were like, yeah, that would be fun. And it was.
You know, I don't take all the credit for this. When you say things like R-Truth, 11 million, that match between him and I, and the shopping spree, all of this with Nia and Shayna, dude, I just had fun. And I've been blessed to be around so many amazing, amazing, talented people. And like everything is a dance. It's a tango they talk about in the ring and all of these different things. But I had chemistry with all of those people because I went into it like, let's just have fun. It's not about how I look or how I'm presented. Let's just knock every single situation, every single promo, every single segment out of the water. And that was my mindset. That was their mindset. And it showed. So,
I mean, of course, during that time, you're associated with Dana Brooke, heavily tied to her. She's over in TNA right now. Yeah, she's crushing it. I'm going over there to watch Shaza face her on Sunday, actually.
Nice.
But is that something like you're looking to revisit, or are you looking to maybe go out and do your own thing now? Like, do you have any aspirations in that regard to maybe specifically pave a different path, or maybe are you open to revisiting some things like that?
You know, everything that I did in WWE in my WWE career has been 4 years, four incredible years. And every opportunity is an opportunity. But like you said, you know, I was presented in such a unique way. I do sometimes think that if I never got the opportunity to do the whole sommelier thing, how different would my career have been? I don't know. I don't know if I would be this popular, because it did give me a platform to showcase my skills, but I know that that's not all that I have to offer. So I'm very much so trying to carve out a career and not just be known as a gimmick act, a gimmick performer and whatnot. Because regardless of what gimmicks I was given, the skills are real. And all of those views tell you that. Like, my skills aren't a gimmick. It's really stuff that, you know, people can't do. And it's unique in its own way of like a Ricochet, of like, you know, early on Rey Mysterio, AJ Styles or whatever. It's different, but it's unique enough to where, oh, if given the proper storyline and the proper situation, he could be a real contender.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Deal.
Yeah.
I look at the match with Ricochet. It had the 24/7 stuff at the tail end of it. But man, the beginning, we were going to get some things cooking. Most definitely. So
I always like that pairing as well. Also a question, like when they switch you from Reggie to Reginald, how was that brought up to you?
I don't know.
Or they just said you're Reginald now.
A rumor, I think it was. Oh no, actually, I do know. I got the name Reginald just like that. Didn't know I was Reginald. I went on camera, I did my segment, came out, and I heard my name was Reginald.
Oh my God. I love that.
I went out as a sommelier, and I heard that Reginald, that's his name. So I came back and I was Reginald. And so funny, when I switched from Reginald to Reggie, it was kind of, you know, I'm a kid from St. Louis. I just used that Reginald French sommelier stuff to get the door. I'm Reggie from St. Louis.
Yeah.
That's all it was. So
I'm one of the people that watch WWE Main Event because I watch everything. That's when we really got to see you start to do a few things. Like, it was more than just the 24/7 thing. I remember you were facing Tommaso Ciampa a few times, Dijak, Tozawa, like in matches that actually went 5-6 minutes. Shelton was another one I remember seeing. Like, we got to see you actually work a bit. How was that for you from the learning process, and how different was it considering that most of the stuff that they had you doing was a pretty fine niche on WWE Raw?
It was different, but I was asking for that. I'm like, I want you guys to see me more than just the gimmick wrestler, because I offer so much more. And unfortunately, you know, we had those 5 to 6 minutes, 8 minute matches, and I wanted to showcase a different side of me. And I did that, and I had great, great people to go against, to work against, to work with. And it was just incredible, because I'm just like, no matter what I do, I feel like I'm still, that light is so bright of who I was, that it's going to be, I'll have to work double time to try to brighten this light over here of a serious worker and whatnot. But it was the start of what was to come, for sure.
There are some really, really fun matches on Main Event. And I always tell people, I'm like, that's where you go to see, like, if you're wondering, how has this person changed since NXT? How have they changed since the last time they were on TV? Like, man, I enjoyed watching stuff like Shelton Benjamin versus Reggie, because it was something I wasn't going to get the opportunity to see on Raw. And I could see how people were developing and adjusting. And I remember it was like maybe a couple months between you being on Main Event and then Scripps debuting. I want to know how your pitch Scripts, and then first off told, hey, you're going to be in Orlando more, you're going to be at NXT more, because there are some people that I know that are like, hell yeah, I don't have to catch those flights. Then there are some other people that are like, I don't want to do that. But I will say this, the stigma has long since gone away, because all the main roster people I talk to are super excited to work NXT.
Of course. So, going back to NXT wasn't my idea, but I was in this process because I knew the 24/7 title stuff was on its way out. I think we rode it until the wheels for sure fell off. We rode it for a long time, and it was at its, I think, one of the highest peaks when we were doing all of our stuff. I started to figure out what was I going to do next. And I presented myself, I want to wrestle in a mask. It's something, I'm a writer as well. And so I write all of my stories. And I wrote the story of going under a mask, but it wasn't as a heel. It was going to be something super cool, super almost basic. And it was original talks with Rey Mysterio. I was going to do something with him. Him and I discussed it, and he was completely down. This is way before Judgment Day and all of these different things. But it was something to where, you know, I was going to get attacked, and him and Dom came to my aid, set up a six-man, and I'm nervous as heck. It's like my first match. I'm with Rey Mysterio, Dominic, all of these different things. And he was going to give me a mask to try to calm my nerves. We win or whatever, I'm going to give it back. But he said, no, what? You keep it. You deserve it. You earned it or whatever. And that was going to be me in the mask. Flippy, fun, happy guy, whatever. That didn't work. That didn't happen. So I said, I was told that I was going to go back to NXT. All right, sweet. I still want to do the mask stuff. And I had like a meeting with some people and just basically talked about who I was and my story and all of these different things, what I wanted to do. Very open, very great. First time dealing with NXT, and I'm like, this is pretty amazing. But I said, I want to do the mask. And they asked, what do I like to do? Talked about poetry. And then someone said, I had this idea for a dark poet. Would you be interested? I'm like, sure. I mean, I don't turn down, you know, anything. I'm very open and I do my job. I am the performer and I know that there's a hierarchy to things or whatever. So I do what I'm told. I'm going to knock it out the park just like I did the 24/7 stuff, the sommelier stuff or whatever. I striked out every time and whatnot. And I never felt comfortable because, you know, one thing that Sean told me after I told him my story, he heard my story for the first time. He was like, oh, shit. He didn't say, oh, shit, but he said, good luck with making these people try to hate you. For one, I have a very unique skill set, and my story is incredible. It's one of the reasons they hired me, but we went away from all of that. And I have to be this dark poet. So all of the poems and things I was writing, and then not knowing when I was going to debut, had a guy make my gear, and he did a horrible job. My mask, horrible job. I mean, this was a first for me. I had suits. I have a tailor, so I get all my suits custom. I didn't have a gear guy. So I found a guy. He threw something together quickly. Before the match, earlier that day, it ripped, so I had to get it stitched. So my gear was bad. My mask was bad. And I'm just like, oh, man, I feel so out of whack with this character. And it was a huge fail.
Were you relieved when the mask came off?
Very much so. And we started to pitch some things with, you know, Axiom and I, and it was great. Very, very great. And, you know, that story between us didn't develop quite like we wanted it to because just time and getting rushed and whatnot. And so that was rushed. But then the mask came off, and I thought we were going to do something that we didn't do anything. I said, man, this sucks. And so I did my part. I talked to my guys. I pitched the idea of doing something that was very personal to me. This is the first time that I was going to use my real story. And instead of writing it up, I filmed it. I filmed it, and I put like the Easter eggs in the back of the two guys that I wanted to use, which were Bronco and Lucian. And we filmed this vignette that the public didn't see it, but I showed it to some creative people, and they said, I love this. This is exactly what we envisioned for you. It's like a Hurt Business, Nation of Domination type of faction and whatnot. After the pay-per-view, we're going to move forward with this. Well, it was that next week that they planted the Easter eggs on this faction or whatnot. I'm like, oh, heck yeah, we're moving forward right where we want to be. And for the majority of that, you know, I'm writing all of these promos and filming these vignettes and sending it to them. And they were so on board with it. I don't know where along the line where it went from what I originally wrote to how OTM was presented. Because it went from like a very strong faction to almost a knockoff Crime Time. And I didn't write that, you know? And that wasn't my vision for it. But that's how it turned out.
Were you surprised they didn't abandon the script's name and go back to Reggie or Reginald?
In my original vignette that I shot and recorded, it said, I told I'm not Scripps, I'm Reggie. And I was going to transition, but they wanted to keep that Scripps name, maybe it was something to where we created it, we want to make it work or whatever. But again, I'm never a guy to say no, 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 until they wanted us to do some things that I was like, yeah, we're not going to do that.
And I've heard similar things like that. Like Mustafa Ali said that, you know, one of the things that led to his issues with Vince was he was asked to do something that they knew he would never do.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Mine's weren't so severe. Okay. I don't want to make it seem like it was like
sure
something crazy, but I just didn't want OTM to be portrayed in that light. Like I never set out to be, you know, a thug or an angry black man on camera. But OTM, we were presented as like so mean and angry, which, yes, from our upbringings, but it wasn't like I'm a thug now or whatever. I tried my hardest to break that stigma even when I joined the circus. I didn't want to be that guy because I'm really from the streets. I really was in a gang. I really sold drugs and been in prison and been shot at all of these different things, watched people die, my uncle in my bedroom. And I said, I have nothing to be upset about, nothing to be angry about. It's a huge blessing that I was able to have 16 years in the circus and then make it to the WWE with almost zero training and whatnot. I have nothing to be upset about, and I wanted to be happy.
I've only heard positive stories about you, and all my interactions with you interpersonally, you're such a welcoming presence as well. I will say this, at least they didn't ask you to lose to Quincy Elliott. So, I mean, hey, that's one thing that you did. That would have been too far. You'd have been like, that's it. That's too far.
But this is the thing. Again, I am a performer. So
sure,
when it comes to wins and losses, you know, I don't care. I don't care at all. I'm just going to go out there and make the match the best that I can do. I will lose to anyone. That's never my problem. But don't ask me to drink malt liquor on screen and whatnot. Things like that. The shooting dice was, you know, we did it. But it wasn't going to be an ongoing thing, you know? I didn't want to do that. And they gave me a lot of freedom to say those things. So that's why I felt comfortable, like, declining certain things. We had a great relationship. Like, there's no heart, like, bad blood or anything. I had a great time there. And, you know, I didn't really see the writing on the wall, but it was some evidence to show, like, maybe we're going to move on a bit.
At the same time, like, they put you, OTM, and Street Profits in the Snickers candy bar commercial too. Like, I remember I saw that and I was like, my God, what a great spot for them. Like, that was
amazing.
That was incredible. How did that come about? How was it filming that? Because I mean, that is legitimately like such a kick-ass spot to be a part of.
You know, again, it's just being a decent person. You know, I don't think it was like, oh, we want the OTM to be in the Snickers commercial. I'm sure it was guys in NXT or the higher ups in NXT saying, let's give it to OTM or whatever, because we generally had great connections, not great connections, but great relationships with almost everyone. I didn't rub anyone the wrong way. The boys didn't. Like, we were genuinely liked by a lot of people. And so when it happened, it was kind of like a thank you, I guess, for being decent people, you know, in a business where it can be a lot of rude people, for sure.
Did you get paid extra for it? A little bit. Okay, there we go.
A little bit.
There we go.
Input.
So for, like, I'm always interested in, like, the process of video games and action figures and all that stuff. What type of process do you have to go through for the video game? Like, do you get scanned? Do they call you up and say, is there anything you want added or not added or anything like that?
It was pretty dope. When I knew that I was going to be in the video game, I went into the trailer, put all of the things on my body. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is pretty freaking dope. I never thought I would be in a situation to be scanned for a video game or whatever. And it was, I mean, all of these things were dreams come true, because I never thought that this was possible, just like I thought Cirque du Soleil wasn't possible. But I was walking a path that, you know, wasn't for me in a sense. And so it was just super dope. And I knew that I was doing something right, because not everyone get to be in a video game. Not everyone get to have an action figure. I had two. I had merch and whatnot. So regardless of what anyone said about who I am on screen, people were invested. People were tuned in. And so I wear that badge with honor.
So also this year, we've really seen you like come into your own singles wrestling and stuff like that, like the Javion Evans match, the Dragon Lee match. Like, we're starting to see that just from a TV perspective. What is there anybody specifically on the indies, or maybe a place that you're looking at and you're like, yeah, I think that me and that person could do something special? Because, man, a lot of the restrictions are off on the indies. Not to say that they were necessarily on hard in WWE, but they have time, a lot of things that do restrict talent in that regard.
Man, I am, I'm looking to work with a lot of people. EJ, the judge, that's my dog. He's been my dog from the beginning. He was a part of that training outside. He was the one that, really introduced me to like working out and so, I mean, I owe that guy a lot. He's been a brother for me long time, and he prays with me. He prays for me. He's gotten me a lot deeper into my faith, which I was slacking a lot, and I owe him so much. That's my dog. So love to work with him, love to work against him and whatnot. Some notable names as well. Leo Rush, been a huge fan of his for a while. I know we can tear the house down. Linsen, that's my dog too. We actually got some stuff maybe in the works.
Okay.
Whatever, together.
Multi-talented too. Great gear maker.
Great gear maker. And he was one of the guys that came in the clutch and got me a better mask.
Oh, good.
So he was pretty dope. I'm excited to go back to St. Louis. I trained at Dynamo Pro. I'm just excited to wrestle for all the promotions there. I got some guys that it's some ATM, that he's pretty dope. Camaro. It's a lot of people out there that I'm looking forward to get back in Montreal, where I started training. In Calgary, they reached out to me and whatnot. So
nice.
I'm excited. And outside of wrestling, I got so much stuff lined up. Like I told you, I'm a writer, also aspiring actor. I got some important, some exciting, like lead character roles in some movies and TV shows lined up. So I say this, them not renewing my contract, it sucked with having a fiance that's pregnant, but I'm free to do a lot of those things that I really put on the back burner. So it's a blessing and a curse for sure.
So not to be a damper, how did that conversation occur? Do they email you? Do they call you into the office? How do they let you know that they're not renewing the contract?
So you say not to be a damper. It was probably it was a great conversation. Okay. Because I don't know what a conversation like that is. Like,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Like, yeah, we're not going to go the other direction. Good luck on your future endeavors. That was the conversation people said was happening. But I got a call and it was like, hey, Reg, I hate to be the one to have this call, give you this news. And I knew right there, but it was, it's a guy that I have a really good relationship with, a person that I have a really good relationship with. He said, unfortunately, we're not going to renew your contract, but I want you to know this isn't, the door isn't closed. It's forever open. You're such a great talent. You're great to work with, a joy to be around, just flattering message. And it was like, I thought in my head, I'm like, if I'm that great, why can't I get a new contract? But it was a good conversation. And I'm like, okay, what's next and whatnot. And my biggest thing was I didn't leave on bad blood. Like, I that's not who I am. I don't like, I'm a very positive guy. Like, I have, my brother's heavy on drugs right now. My grandmother is sick. My other brother's in jail. My other brother is in a mental hospital from a car crash when he was 16. And I have people that are constantly dying back in St. Louis, and I'm living a life that many would kill to be in my shoes.
You've lived multiple lives by 30. By 30, you have lived multiple lives.
And so I have nothing to be upset about. I'm just like, this is just, you know, another obstacle, another hurdle that I have to jump. So it wasn't a bad call at all.
Well, we certainly look forward to you doing it. I mean, I can tell you that immediately when we ran the story, I had promoters hit me up and say, how can we book him? Do you have his info? Anything like that? So, I mean, I could see the immediate interest from the independent world. And it made me happy to see, because I've only had positive experiences with you. But before we go, where can people follow you, support you, check you out, and keep up to date with what you're doing?
On those platforms, Scripps WWE, it hasn't changed. My email, it's also in my bio on Twitter and on Instagram, SydneyAkeem@gmail.com. Just look out for, I have so many projects. Also pushing my nonprofit right now. It's called RBB, Rise Beyond Borders, to help the youth. And also diving into some motivational speaking, telling my story, finally getting my story out there. A book, my autobiography, titled A Way Out. Lots of things.
We barely scratched the surface in 40 minutes. Me and you are going to have to talk again, because there's so much to always talk to you about. Sydney Akeem, I look forward to seeing what you do. And thank you so much.
Of course, my man. Appreciate you for having me.
Until next time, guys, we're out.